Good morning. It's January 29th. It's already the last weekend in January. How'd that happen? This is Bill Gorman, your host for this morning's Whatcom Report. Whatcom Report is a program brought to you by this station and the Bellingham Whatcom Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And I'm excited to welcome our guest today, Lori Troutman. Lori is the director of the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. I was introduced to this organization when I was working with the chamber for a little while a few years ago. And they do great and important work helping us understand just how what happens at our border and how important this border is for us. And we thought that we'd make a great guest today to talk about possible changes with renegotiating NAFTA. So good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So how important is this border for us here in Whatcom County?
So this is one of the busiest borders in our region, certainly about, I think, over 85% of the goods and the people that flow between Washington State and British Columbia come through our five borders. That includes Point Roberts, which is a little bit of a unique situation. We have Pacific Highway, Peace Arch, Linden, and Sumas. And outside of kind of our Pacific Northwest border region, you're looking at the Detroit-Windsor area as being sort of a comparable high-volume cross-border area along the Canadian border.
Yeah, how many, just give people a sense of the traffic volume. What is the traffic volume across our border here?
Well, it fluctuates. We're very closely tied to the value of the loonie compared to the U.S. dollar. And that is something that's sort of unique to our region. If we look over time at the value of the Canadian dollar compared to the U.S. dollar, we see a clear relationship between an increase in the value of loonie and an increase in the number of people that cross the border. So that might range from, I think our peak in the last 20 years was about 13 million people. And right now we're probably closer to like 8 or 9 million because the loonie is so much weaker than it has been in the past. About 80 to 85% of the people who cross our border are Canadian. So what happens with the loonie and what happens in Canada has a huge effect on our border.
That's interesting. So there's goods and services that cross. I mean, a lot of manufactured or other parts, part of trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just people coming down to shop.
Yes.
Here in Whatcom County, which has always been an important part of our economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see, so again, bringing it back to kind of a comparison across the U.S.-Canada border, if you look at the Detroit region or even the Buffalo-Niagara region, there's much less sensitivity to that change in the exchange rate in regards to the movement of people. The movement of goods does not respond nearly as quickly to the exchange rate. We still see pretty consistent flows in the value of goods moving across the border.
Well, that's interesting. Why, any understanding why people are less price sensitive in the center of the country rather than here on the West Coast?
So, again, that's who's crossing and why. So if we take Detroit as the best example as kind of a very different situation than what we have here, because the majority of people crossing at Detroit are crossing for business purposes. So they're on, say, trade NAFTA visas or different sort of visas, and there's a huge healthcare industry of specifically nurses coming from Windsor into Detroit. So those people are working. So they're basically daily commuting across the border. So the value of the exchange rate is not as they're not as sensitive to those fluctuations versus in our region, the number one reason for people to cross is to shop. So it's a discretionary choice. And therefore, we know when their buying power decreases, we see less of them.
So, well, that's interesting. I never thought about that, that there'd be, because Detroit's right next to the, much closer to the border than, say, Seattle is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's more of proximity. You know, I had the opportunity earlier this year in October to travel down and visit the Rotary Club of Tijuana, which is the oldest Rotary Club in Mexico. It was founded 80 years ago. And one of the Rotary Clubs here in Whatcom County, Whatcom North, has had, or the Sunrise Club, has had a strong connection over 20 years working to build schools. And so we had a chance to go down there. And I walked back. We drove over, but I walked back, which was astonishing. That that border crossing between San Diego and Tijuana is incredibly busy as well.
Yeah, and you know, people who work on the Mexican border kind of laugh when we complain about our wait times up here, both for freight and for people, because they're experiencing 3, 4, or 5 hour wait times sometimes to cross that border. And you know, up here we have just a very different relationship across the border. We work very closely with law enforcement and Canada Border Services Agency and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection have kind of a very integrated platform for cooperating that doesn't really exist on the southern border. So we have a, I'd say, a unique policy environment, and it makes our region pretty innovative and on the front lines of creating policies that are more efficient for folks and for goods to move back and forth. So we have some congestion, and people complain about that. But if you look at what's going on the southern border, it's a very different situation for sure.
Well, with the work of our former director, Ken Opplinger, he worked hard and set up the enhanced license before he moved down to California. And I was surprised when I started to research that. We were one of the few, you know, British Columbia and Washington State were a state and province that really had, were leaders. Nobody else had really set that up. And I don't know if that's expanded since. The last time I checked, there were a couple other states and provinces looking into it. But we really had it going on, and that was a big difference. Has that expanded across the northern tier?
Yep, that's expanded. I can't rattle exactly which states have EDLs, but quite a few do. And with more and more talk about, you know, Real ID Act and things like that, the enhanced driver's license has helped a lot of people, I think, in Washington and BC be able to cross the border without having to have a passport. So a huge efficiency gain for cross-border mobility.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of nice. You just drive up, point it at the little gizmo, and then the guy knows who you are when you pull up. It works really well.
And then our region has more Nexus members. So Nexus, for those of you who don't know, is a joint program between the U.S. and Canada. It's a trusted traveler program. So you apply for Nexus, it's $50, and you have to be interviewed by both Canadian and U.S. customs agents. And they sort of comb through your background, and they decide that you're a safe, trusted traveler, and then you get to use the Nexus lane. You also get TSA PreCheck in U.S. airports, which is great. And our region is home to the largest number of Nexus enrollees in the across both the U.S. and Canada border. So.
Yeah, that's something I haven't done yet. I've been considering
it. Oh, you got to get that.
I think I'm going to do it because I'm always, you know, annoyed at those people that just breeze on through with it. And then actually I found out that it also is applicable on the southern border.
Well, there's a lot of different programs. So there's a Sentry program, which is the equivalent to the Nexus program. So that would be the U.S.-Mexico joint sort of card. And there is, now that we are going to roll into one card for both borders that hasn't actually quite been released yet.
But. Yeah, but it was kind of working while we were down there. People who had the Nexus card could ride in a vehicle with people at Sentry.
Ah, okay. I didn't realize cross they let you do that.
That's why we walked, because we had someone drive across who had the Sentry pass to meet us on the other side. And we just walked across because it was much faster. And I was really impressed at the how even with the challenges of, you know, thousands of people daily, it moved pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty impressive. Well, we're coming up on a break now. When we come back, I think we'll get into what changes or what challenges we might expect and how people can help participate and become involved in this process because of the importance of our border with our partners to the north. So. This is Bill Gorman, your host on Walk and Report. We'll be back in a minute.
This Rotary Moment is brought to you by the five Rotary Clubs of Whatcom County and the Cascade Radio Group. The Bellingham Sunrise Rotary Club's biggest fundraiser is Oyster Fest, which raised over $45,000 for charities last year. This year's event is at the Bellingham Golf and Country Club on Saturday, February 4th, and features John Keister from Seattle's Almost Live emceeing the event. Oyster Fest features both live and silent auction items, including memorabilia, vacation trips, and special dinner packages. You'll also enjoy a variety of delicious hors d'oeuvres, wine, local beers, and oysters, with a dessert dash topping off the evening. Proceeds from this year's event will go locally to Brigadoon Service Dogs and the Pass the Hat organization. For tickets or to contribute to the event, contact Sunny Lake at 319-4750. For more information on Oyster Fest, go to bellinghamsunriserotary.org. This Rotary Moment is a collective effort of the five Rotary Clubs of Whatcom County, providing service above self.
Attention hunters, stop what you're doing and mark your calendars right now for Thursday the 9th at 7 p.m. Why? Because Dakota Creek Guns and Outfitting and Wildlife Art Taxidermy are hosting their annual safari night with Chimanzi Zulu Safari. And for one big night, that'd be Thursday, February 9th, there'll be big incentives to book the hunt of your dreams at a savings. If you've ever heard the call of Africa, you won't want to miss this. It's an all-inclusive hunt from food and lodging to expert expert guides, and it's way, and I mean way more affordable than you think. If you can manage a guided hunt in the West for an elk, you can afford an African safari through Dakota Creek. We're talking 7 safari hunting days with up to 4 animals or more, all but guaranteed. This trip is all-inclusive. There's nothing to worry about. It's so good that Dakota Creek's owner has done this hunt 3 times. It's always hunting season at Dakota Creek Guns and Outfitting on Pacific Highway next to Wilson's Furniture.
This is Josh from Carl's Mower and Saw. Since 1990, Carl's Mower has been providing the best in power equipment and service to Whatcom County. We focus on power equipment sales, service, and rentals. From generators to chainsaws, we have it all. You can even find a robotic lawnmower. At Carl's Mower and Saw, we'll teach you how to use your equipment, and we always service what we sell. We realize you demand excellence in service and products, and we're proud to provide you with the very best in power equipment. Find us on Portal Way, off I-5, exit 263, and online at carlsmower.com.
Tune in to KGMI on Saturdays at noon to stay connected with your community. Each weekend, business leaders share their expert advice on everything from farming, business, entertainment, to home maintenance. The first hour of Community Connection is sponsored by Wynnewood Enterprises, Sudden Valley Golf, Feller Heating, and Good to Go Meat Pies. Community Connection, noon to 2 every Saturday on KGMI, News Talk 790 and KGMI.com. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
Good morning and welcome back to the Whatcom Report. This is Bill Gorman, your host today, and I'm here with Lori Troutman, the director of the Border Policy Research Institute at Western, a mouthful of a name, but an important part of what one of the services that Western Washington University provides for us here. And we, before the break, we were talking about how important this border crossing is, how many people come across. Now that our president, President Trump, has signed an executive order to look at renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement, what kinds of things can we expect? I mean, that's just the beginning of this process. Nothing's actually happened yet, but nevertheless, this is an important relationship. And what do you think we can expect?
Yeah, this is a really hard one to wrap your brain around because NAFTA itself is very complex. There's parts of NAFTA that are trilateral, so they're an agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And there's parts of NAFTA that are bilateral. They're just an agreement between the U.S. and Canada or the U.S. and Mexico. So one thing we might look at is what are the parts of NAFTA that are bilateral between the U.S. and Canada that could be sort of maintained if NAFTA itself went away. And the other important question, I think, for our region is how might any changes to NAFTA affect Canada? Because Canada is Washington State's largest trading partner. They're the number one source of our imports. 30% of our imports come from Canada. So any sort of friction that's inserted into that trade relationship has actually a larger impact on Washington State than probably any other state if we're looking at the Canadian relationship.
So what are the imports that come down from Canada? What kinds of goods are coming over?
Well, what's really interesting about our trade relationship, and this is, again, the state level with Canada, is that the top 5 goods that we import tend to be also some of the top goods that we export. So fuels is a huge one. We import natural gas and crude oil. We refine it at Cherry Point and other refineries. And then we send it back to Canada largely as jet fuel to Vancouver Airport. Another example of that is aerospace products. I think about 30% of the landing gear that Boeing uses to assemble a plane comes from Canada. So this is actually a great example. Washington State is kind of a great example of a broader supply chain network that exists with the United States and its NAFTA neighbors. So dismantling that supply chain has an effect not only on those other countries that are trying to export to the United States, but also the United States itself, right? Because if you've got Boeing depending on landing gear coming from Canada and that's all of a sudden taxed or there's a tariff there, well, then Boeing itself has its profits eaten into and the Boeing plane becomes more expensive for everyone. So our supply chains are really, really integrated between Washington and Canada and then also across North America. So dismantling those has a lot of repercussions throughout the economy.
Well, I know the manufacturing process is a big and important development over the last really 2 decades has been just-in-time delivery of materials. So rather than maintaining a large stock and investing capital into that stock of materials that's just sitting and waiting, things are produced and expected just in time. They produce it, it shows up, and so that the supply chain and its functionality is critical to the manufacture of a lot of products. And so the word I think you used that I think is important to think about is friction. If it slows down because of uncertainty or anything else, that could have implications and ramifications.
Yeah, and that's particularly going to be felt if, depending on what happens with NAFTA in the Detroit-Windsor region, because automobile manufacturing is, like you said, totally tied into that just-in-time supply chain kind of situation. And so, you know, out here, we're not passing automobile parts across the border. So we won't feel that effect at our state level. So that's kind of a good thing for us. But there will be other things like softwood lumber. The softwood lumber agreement is now probably going to enter into another phase of dispute between the United States and Canada, which if NAFTA gets renegotiated will only irritate that dispute and probably give the United States kind of an upper hand in muscling Canada into sort of a favorable terms of that softwood lumber agreement. But paper products and wood move back and forth across our border. So that's an important one for our region in addition to fuels and aerospace.
Yeah, fuels is really an important part of the transfer because I know I visited the point in Sumas where the natural gas comes across at a Puget Sound Energy cogen plant there. It's one of the first places on the pipeline coming over from Canada. So natural gas is an important import. So what other things can we consider? I mean, what else? How can this process progress if we do indeed start to renegotiate it?
So one thing that people are sort of trying to figure out is if the U.S. could go back to the U.S.-Canada Free Trade Agreement, which existed prior to NAFTA. And I think technically and legally that's a possibility. It still exists. It's just sort of superseded. But if NAFTA was removed, we could go back to that. And there's a lot of different opinions. Some in Canada feel that this could be a great opportunity for Canada to come back to the negotiating table with the United States and say, look, we didn't get this last time. We'd like to get this time. There's things like country of origin labeling and the supply management program for the dairy industry in Canada that could go either way, could be favorable for Canada or could not. So I think that there's, it's not necessarily all doom and gloom. There's a lot of people that feel that it's time for NAFTA to be renegotiated, and there could be terms that are more favorable to both of our countries because it is fairly outdated at this point.
Yeah, it was signed by the George H.W. Bush administration, right?
It was signed by Bush, and then it was passed through Congress by Clinton.
Okay, so that was 1991?
94. So another issue with NAFTA is the labor mobility provisions, and there's several in there, but the most common one used is a trade NAFTA visa or status. And there's quite a few people that move across our border. I know at Western we have a number of professors who have what's called a TN visa or TN status. And there's a lot of problems with that category because the job itself, the descriptions of sort of what jobs count as professions under this category were created in 1994. So you didn't have a lot of the computer industry jobs that exist now. So a lot of people pushed for that to be updated really hard. And there was a time, just a couple years ago when my institute was involved in pushing for it, and there was kind of a general sentiment that we'll never open up NAFTA again because you have to get Congress involved and it's so political. And now we're looking at opening up NAFTA, so it's a pretty big shift.
So there could be upside as well.
Yeah, there could be upside. Again, it sort of runs the gamut, and it's there's so many different provisions that it's really hard to say what might happen and how it might affect us, but I think it could go either way, frankly.
Right. in any respect, this will be interesting and challenging to watch. So can you give us a sense of just how valuable this relationship for Washington State and British Columbia is? What's a number that gives us a sense of how much moves back and forth?
Well, if we take just a few examples, we export about $1.5 billion in aircraft goods to Canada from Washington State. We export about $1 billion in fuel oil, and the reverse, again, is true for very similar categories. Our imports from Canada are about over $3 billion in crude oil, over $2 billion in natural gas. Interestingly enough, for Washington State, China is our number one export market, which is a total reverse of the nationwide trend, and that's due to Boeing and aerospace. But if we move China out of the picture, our trade relationship with Canada dominates, you know, across the board, our imports and our exports. So it's an incredibly significant trade relationship, particularly if you look at how much Washington State imports from Canada. And if we do have something like a border-adjusted tax, we are going to feel that here.
Of course, that border-adjusted tax will be a tax that we end up ultimately paying ourselves, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's again, a, sort of a complicated metric. So you've got businesses that can write off certain things that are made in the U.S. You know, I could go into the details, but I think in the end, the U.S. goods will become more expensive. Right. And that's more expensive not just for U.S. consumers, but for Canadians as well.
So we're coming up on a break on the bottom of the hour, and we're going to come back and talk more about some of these ramifications and implications. And that was easy for me to say. So you're listening to the Whatcom Report on KGMI. Talk to you in a minute.
If you're leaving home for a few days or taking that well-deserved vacation in the sun, here's an energy-saving tip from Northwest Propane. Set your water heater to the vacation setting so you're not paying utility costs to keep all that water hot while you're away. And don't forget to reset your water heater when you get back. Northwest Propane, the number one choice for Whatcom, Skagit, Island, and Snohomish County since 1947. For more information, visit them online at nwpropane.net.
Hi, I'm Ken Marr. We know the heating and air conditioning company you choose will greatly impact you and your family's comfort. And at Mars Heating, your comfort comes first, just as it has for the last 50 years we've been in business. We're proud to be an independent dealer of American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the top equipment as rated by a leading consumer magazine. At Mars Heating and Air Conditioning, we do our very best to make your comfort frustration free. Find us on Mount Baker Highway or online at marsheating.com. That's marsheating.com.
Join Mark Patrick Hypnosis and stop smoking now without cravings, irritability, or weight gain, or your money back.
I tried the patch.
I tried the gum.
Tried Diet Ant.
I tried cold turkey.
None of that worked.
Nothing worked.
I just could not quit.
I have to tell you, I had no cravings.
No weight gain, no problem.
I quit in one night.
Take it from me, it worked.
I recommend it to everyone.
Only $49.99 guaranteed. Don't just cut down. Stop smoking now once and for all. In addition, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed with Mark Patrick Hypnosis. Destroy unwanted cravings, late-day eating binges, boredom eating, and stress eating. Join the over 500,000 others who've attended and lose weight the easy way. The seminars are Tuesday, February 7th at the Mount Vernon Best Western Plus Skagit Valley Inn and Convention Center and Wednesday the 8th at the Bellingham Four Points by Sheraton Hotel. Weight loss seminar runs from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. The Stop Smoking Seminars from 8 till 10. You'll find more info at the website, markpatrickseminars.com.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time is 8:30, 41 degrees in Bellingham today, heading for a rainy high of 45. The U.S. military says one service member has been killed and three others wounded while conducting a surprise raid in Yemen targeting its branch of Al-Qaeda. U.S. Central Command says a fourth service member was injured in a hard landing that left the aircraft unable to fly. Central Command says 14 fighters from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula were killed in that assault. Four leaders are responding to President Trump's executive order banning visitors from seven predominantly Muslim countries from entering the U.S. Not surprisingly, some of the strongest reaction is from the countries banned. ABC's Jennifer Eccleston reports from London.
In Europe, concern among some U.S. allies. Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May, after reaffirming her country's special relationship with the U.S., refusing to condemn the ban, saying she just doesn't agree with it. The French Prime Minister accusing President Trump of stoking hate. And closer to home, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau posting on Twitter, Canadians will welcome you regardless of your faith. Welcome to Canada.
Commissioners from the Port of Seattle, which oversees SeaTac Airport, have issued a statement criticizing the executive order, saying, quote, America is great because we are a land of immigrants, and that is what made us great to begin with. State Senate Republicans have a school funding plan that seeks to replace local levy dollars with a statewide uniform tax. If voters were to sign off on the GOP proposal in November, it would bring in about $2 billion a year for education.
For most of the state, about 80% of the state, it's a net tax decrease.
Republican Senator John Brown says the state would kick in another $700 million a year from existing revenues.
In total, it's roughly an additional $2.7 billion per year in state funding.
A state Supreme Court ruling on school funding directs lawmakers to end school districts' reliance on local levy dollars. Districts currently pay a big chunk of teachers' salaries with local property tax levies. Proposals from Democrats rely on taxes on carbon emissions and capital gains to pay for schools. KGMI dependable forecast, afternoon showers and 45 today. Mostly cloudy, 34 tonight. Cloudy, 42 tomorrow as we head back to work, and then sunshine on Tuesday with a high of 41. It's 41 now in Bellingham. Mike Davis, KGMI News Talk 790.
From ABC Sports, I'm Dave Schreiber. The Golden State Warriors' two-time defending MVP, Steph Curry, showed he can still be dominant with the new-look Warriors.
Pass the far side to McCaw to Curry. Right angle, three. Yes! 43 points for Steph Curry. 25-point quarters.
On 105.7 The Game, the Warriors rout the Clippers 144-98. Switching to college basketball, Duke's Luke Kennard hits a big shot for the Blue Devils.
Toward the top of the circle, looking, shot, clock down to 9, turnaround, 3, yes! Luke Kennard with a 3 and a timeout called by the Demon Deacons.
On the Blue Devil IMG Sports Network, that shot wins it for Duke as they beat Wake Forest 85-83. This is ABC Sports.
Brought to you by Attorney Tax.
If you're in trouble with the IRS and owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, listen to this important public announcement. The IRS is now offering a special program called the Fresh Start Initiative, which can offer significantly reduced settlements that can reduce your liability by thousands of dollars. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and substantially reduce or eliminate your tax burden. If you're approved and qualified, the IRS will stop the collections against you. Don't feel overwhelmed. Please call the consumer hotline to see if you qualify. 800-535-3787. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. If you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you may qualify for substantial relief and even forgiveness. See if you qualify and get the help you need by calling the consumer hotline. 800-535-3787. That's 800-535-3787. 800-535-3787.
Staying in college basketball, second-ranked Kansas traveled to Kentucky to take on the fourth-ranked Wildcats and showed their grit in this one.
Mason out to Jackson, top of the circle, crossing over, gets airborne, enters into Lucas, puts it up with the right hand, and somehow it goes down.
The call on the Jayhawk IMG Sports Network, Kansas comes away with a victory in Rupp Arena behind Frank Mason's 21 points after dropping their previous game to West Virginia. Sticking in college hoops, the upsets keep on rolling. This time it's Florida State.
Deflected by Roberson. Long football pass. Leiden. Battle saves it. Hooking it to White in front of the bench. Monster three. Yes! It's around and in! One ball movement!
On the Syracuse IMG Sports Network, the Orange Men knock off the Seminoles and upset Florida State 82-72. Going back to the NBA, the Celtics and Bucks played a wild one in Milwaukee that had to go into overtime.
Now can he knock down a couple of free throws? First one up in the air.
Good. Jay Crowder bounces it three times in his right hand. Free throw in the air and good.
The call on WBZ. Those free throws from Jay Crowder sealed the win for the Celtics as they beat the Bucks 112-108 behind Isaiah Thomas's 37 points and 8 assists. Dave Schreiber, ABC Sports.
Get news updates, hear your favorite talk shows, and listen live all day without turning a dial. Go to KGMI.com and hit Listen Live.
Well, good morning. Good Sunday morning to you all. Welcome back to the Walk-In Report. I'm Bill Gorman, your host. And today is January 29th, the last Sunday in January already in 2017. This weird thing with time is freaking me out a little bit. My guest today is Lori Troutman from the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. She's the new director there. You've been there about 2 years now?
Yes.
And you're a Viking. You graduated and you're back?
I'm back.
Excellent. That's good. And before the break, we were talking about some of the changes we might expect from a renegotiation of the North American Free trade agreement. And I think that depending on who you talk to in this new administration, either it's completely doom and gloom, we're all going to die, things are bursting into flame, or there's great opportunities and it's going to be awesome. And I think reality is always someplace in the middle. So I thought we'd talk about what opportunities presented with this renegotiation, because before we left, you talked about some possibilities there. And if you're concerned, how do you participate?
Right. Well, I guess the opportunity, sort of as I mentioned, was with any negotiation or trade deal, there's a chance to ask for what you didn't get before. And that could be something that's favorable to Canadians. That could be something that's favorable to Americans. That remains to be seen. But the possibilities are certainly there. And there's particular provisions that I think both sides didn't get last time that they'd like to get moving forward, some being stickier than others in terms of that cross-border relationship. And in terms of kind of what we can do, not being in Washington, D.C., but Washington State, so I'll just sort of tell you what I've been working on. And I coordinate with several institutes and organizations across the U.S.-Canada border, including the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. And we are kind of collectively trying to paint a portrait of the importance of cross-border trade in our states and our communities. So a lot of that is just looking at, well, what is the value of, say, that Canadian business that's operating in the United States or vice versa? So I'm hoping to kind of amass that story and that portrait, and I'd say any of the listeners out there that are involved in a cross-border business that could kind of just speak to the importance of that trade relationship is valuable. And I think we have to make our voices heard in terms of the positive aspects of trade, particularly in our state. And we have a lot of great things going on and a lot of organizations that are trying to make those voices heard at the kind of national and international level.
Well, one of the other hosts of this show, Wes Herman, who owns Woods Coffee, a great company here in Whatcom County, has just become a international company himself, right?
Yes, indeed. And we have a lot of examples of that, of entrepreneurs who have gone across the border and expanded their companies by just, you know, going 25 miles north.
Yeah, he has a new coffee shop there at the Tawasin Premium Outlet, the Fashion Center, which is pretty exciting. And he's it's always been a close relationship with the Lower Mainland and Washington State here, Whatcom County particularly, because of our proximity. And it's a valuable and important part of our community and our economy.
Indeed. And, you know, in the tail end of sort of what's that local and regional importance of cross-border trade is kind of tying back to that, what we talked about earlier, is that integrated supply chain that exists across North America. And, you know, I think the data shows and our economies show that we're stronger together. So thinking about things as in terms of sort of by North America rather than by America, I think strengthens our economies in all three countries, but also strengthens North America as a whole, which is important for our neighbors to the north and our neighbors to the south.
Well, one of the important trade realities of the last certainly 25 years has been this relationship between in North America, between Mexico, United States, and Canada, and then also the European Union, which was also a large trading partner. In both cases, we're similar in size, about 450 million people, and our economy is significantly larger in aggregate than the EU's economy, isn't it?
Yeah, and our economy is actually even more integrated as well with our NAFTA neighbors than the EU economy is. So one estimate of that is the value added that comes. So I'll give you an example. If we spend $100 on an imported good from Mexico, about $40 of that $100 was value added by the United States itself. And if we look at Canada, it's about 25% is value added from the United States. And there's no other region in the world that is that integrated, that has that much value added from the originating country.
So when you say value added, what's that mean?
So here's an example. Let's say there is a Dell computer that we import from Mexico for $1,000. Roughly about $400 of that at some point in that supply chain or in that production process was added in the United States. That could be labor. That could be parts. Parts is the simplest way to think about it. So it's going back and forth across the border. And at some point, there was an input from the United States itself that went to Mexico and came back.
Parts or software or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take another break here And then we'll be back to continue talking about this. Get your make a piece of toast, have some more coffee, and we'll talk to you in just a minute.
Ever wished you'd finished your degree years ago? It's not too late. With Trinity Western University's Adult Degree Completion Program, you can finish your degree by attending class just one night a week. Just like Mike Anderson, who's attending leadership classes that are greatly enriching his skills as a life coach.
So hi, I'm Mike, and I'm a life coach here in Whatcom County. And I am so blessed to have invested some time in Trinity Western University's leadership program. It has really helped me not only to be a better leader in my life, but to help equip other leaders through my life coaching practice.
Learn how you too can fulfill your dream of finishing your degree through Trinity Western University's Bellingham Extension Center. Their adult degree completion program is specifically designed for busy adults like yourself. Visit TWUBellingham.com to learn more about how you can complete your degree in Bellingham with classes just one night a week. That's TWUBellingham.com.
Dwayne Lane's Skagit Subaru is now open at the I-5 Auto World, exit 229 in Burlington. We're filling up the lot with the Subarus you love. Whether for adventure or comfort of everyday driving, the Subaru Forester, Outback, Impreza, or Legacy fits any lifestyle. And Dwayne Lane's Skagit Subaru has the Subaru for you. Low prices and great selection. Dwayne Lane's has over 1,500 vehicles in stock. Dwayne Lane's Auto Family. We'll take care of you.
A negotiable $150 documentary service fee may be added to the sale price or capitalized cost.
This is Steve from Panacea Automotive Repair. Listen to my show, In the Shop, on KGMI News Talk 790 every Saturday between 9 and 10 a.m.
No, I'm Kirk from Agler Automotive. Catch my show, In the Shop.
Hey guys, this is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Tune in to my show, In the Shop.
Dan here from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, and I'm pretty sure it's my show, In the Shop.
Listen to In the Shop on KGMI News Talk 790 every Saturday between 9 and 10 a.m. Expert vehicle advice, petty arguments, good times.
Stay connected with KGMI and get the latest breaking news and talk show topics instantly. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KGMI Radio.
Welcome back to the Whatcom Report. This is Bill Gorman with my guest, Lori Trautman from Western and the Research Policy Institute. I'm sorry. One of the things I think it's important to recognize is the significant importance of the West Coast of the United States to our whole economy. I mean, California is the sixth largest economy on Earth, so there's a lot of impact there. And I know that in the last couple of years, Washington State has become one of the most robust economies in America. And so we're a significant input for the whole of our nation, the West Coast. We're kind of an important part of things. And I know our governor's been anxious and working hard to improve and increase the power of the Washington State economy. And so there's some relationship that's developing with British Columbia directly.
Yeah, so last fall, it was Microsoft and Amazon hosted a conference up in Vancouver. And it was really looking at the whole West Coast from Seattle to Vancouver as kind of this corridor of innovation and technology. We're seeing a huge growth in Amazon in Seattle. I think they just announced, 100,000 new employees or some baffling number of how fast they're growing as a company. And in Vancouver, there's a huge kind of tech industry that's building up and is very successful and very competitive in the world, and some companies such as Microsoft and Amazon have kind of opened up offices north of the border for various reasons, but one reason is Canada's access to global talent, which in the United States, due to our visa and immigration policies, is a little harder for them to access. So that's strengthening kind of that cross-border footprint in terms of businesses. And at this conference last fall, there was a memorandum of understanding signed by BC's Premier Christy Clark and our governor to say, we want to encourage this cross-border relationship. We want to really drive this kind of Cascadia innovation corridor, I think is what they're calling it, whether that is high-speed rail, whether that's autonomous vehicles moving through the border, whether that's sort of labor mobility provision remains to be seen. But there's a little bit of momentum there, and that's coming both from the government level and from very powerful entities in the private sector. And so I think we should leverage that momentum, and we should write to our elected officials if we feel that that's a direction that we want to go in. And Really, we, like you mentioned before, the enhanced driver's license coming out of Washington. And I mentioned that we have the largest enrollment in the Nexus program anywhere in the nation. And we really do have an amazing kind of regional identity in terms of, you know, what we want to do both between BC and Washington, what policies we think are important. We have a lot of pilots, projects at our border that I work with that don't get done anywhere else in the country. And that's really because of the people that are just on the ground working on this stuff and really invested in that cross-border relationship.
Well, it's always been something I've loved about particularly Whatcom County, but this region, is that we're innovators. We've been innovators for a long time. And so we're in a leadership position. So
indeed,
this is really an opportunity perhaps for to take advantage of this potential renegotiation and make it work even better.
Yeah, I think we have an opportunity as businesses and citizens to drive sort of the direction a little bit, or to try to drive the direction. And, you know, I travel all around the U.S. and Canada, and it always amazes me how many people will say, oh, well, you're in that region, you know, it's the Pacific Northwest, it's so innovative, you have so many people engaged in that cross-border dialogue, and it's true.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting to be able to work in that environment because there's always, you know, there's a good connection at a lot of different levels, both, like I said, on the ground with actual customs agents. I'm part of a group that meets every month, and we're at the table together talking about what's going on our border, what are some of the issues, and then, you know, they bring in Western by saying, well, we have a research need. Can you figure, kind of get some students or some faculty together and help us address this? So it's really an amazing situation.
You know, one of the challenges, I think, for everyone is to understand where our economy is going. You mentioned Amazon, and I know 2 years ago we had a presentation at the Chamber of Commerce economic forecast from one of the people there about how Amazon was going to become the second Boeing in the Seattle corridor with all those new buildings that's going up on the regrade down there. So keeping up with where the economy is going is a challenge for everyone. I want to thank you for coming today. This has been very informative for our listeners. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And they can find you at Western if they have any questions or anything else.
Yeah. And again, I would encourage, if you're a cross-border business or you feel that in some way that cross-border relationship is important to you, let me know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We're going to take another break. You're listening to the Whatcom Report. It's Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening. We're all creatures of habit, and listening to the radio is part of our daily routine. Whether you wake up listening to the latest news and sports or your favorite song, we appreciate it. We know a lot of you listen at work, on the road or trails, even the ball games at night. Again, all part of your daily routine. You're not alone. Roughly 95% of people listen to radio every week. Today, a lot of our listeners are streaming online, at home, the office, or anywhere they go on their mobile device. If you're a business owner looking for advertising that gets results, Cascade Radio Group is here to help. We build campaigns every day that offer on-air or online web-based or targeted display advertising. We can create a live appearance at your business or get you involved in sponsoring one of our promotions or contests, all designed to deliver cost-effective results for your business. On air, online, or on site, Cascade Radio Group is ready to go to work for you. Give us a call or click on the contact tab on this station's website.
Happy New Year's from all of us at D&D Insurance. I'm Derek, and my wife Denise and I, along with our daughter Paige, Janelle, Tessa, and Olivia, are just finishing up with the open enrollment period for healthcare. What we've noticed over the past few months is an alarming rise in the cost of healthcare. Did I hear you say, thanks, Captain Obvious? Yes, healthcare is through the roof. Home and auto is not far behind. Over the years, we've been helping our clients save on both healthcare and their home and auto policies. And we'll also check your rates on life insurance to make sure you're getting the largest benefit for the lowest cost. Let's start off the new year's right. Make a resolution to save yourself money this year by checking your rates with one of us here at D&D Insurance. Our staff enjoys the challenge of getting you the best coverage and saving you money. We're on the corner of 3rd and Vista in Ferndale and online at dndinsurance.com. Or just call us at 392-8159. We look forward to meeting you at D&D Insurance.
KGMI is streaming. Go to KGMI.com and listen all day from KGMI Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the Walk-In Report. My guest today has been Lori Troutman from the Cross Border Research Institute at Western Washington University. If you go to Western Washington, you can probably, their website, you can find a link to that with other information. And later today, I'll be posting this podcast for this show today on Facebook and other places. You can look for it there as well. Now I'm going to use some announcements about what's coming up with your Chamber of Commerce. February 10th is the Networking Breakfast sponsored by Silverado Memory Care Community here in Bellingham. And this is a monthly event that attracts between 100 and 120 people. It's a like a speed dating for business. You have 60 seconds to do your elevator speech at three different tables. Bring lots of business cards. There are lots of door prizes. It's a lot of fun, actually. And if you're thinking about promoting your business or want to get involved, come and do this. If you're thinking about becoming involved or curious about this Chamber of Commerce, come and do this. This is a great way to get to know what our chamber does. It's at 7:15 a.m. to 9 a.m. on coming up on February 10th. It's always the first part of the month at Northwood Hall. That's 3240 Northwood Avenue. Our MC this time will be Mary Kay Robinson of Windermere Real Estate, and music will be provided by Gary Bird of GMB Entertainment. If you RSVP online, it's $16. If you come and pay at the event, it's $20. Go to bellingham.com to register and pay or for more information about attending this program on February 10th. February 16th is our Business After Business at Salish Wealth Management. This is a free event that you can just come and show up and hang out and network with people from the chamber. It's fun. It's interesting. There are door prizes, and you'll have a lot of fun. It'll be held at Salish Wealth Management at 3101 New Market, Suite 101 in Bellingham, and that's 5:30 in the evening to 7:30. The event is free to attend, and anybody's welcome. That's, again, February 16th, the Business After Business at Salish Wealth Management. February 24th and 25th is Recreation Northwest Outdoor Recreation Summit and Expo. Expo Weekend is a time to experience the best of Washington's recreation economy. We start this weekend on Friday with the Outdoor Recreation Summit, a day of learning and sharing for those who are in the recreation industry. And Saturday is the big day with the Expo, where 70 exhibitors and 700 people come together to celebrate outdoor recreation and find new ways to get outside and play. The Expo is free to the public. For more information, go to recreationnorthwest.org, and you know you can get yourself together for that adventure recreation here in Whatcom County. February 28th is a grand opening celebration for Galloway's Cocktail Bar. Join us for the grand opening celebration. That's at 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 28th at Galloway's, located at 1200 10th Street in Ferryman, a brand new place to hang out and enjoy yourself in Fairhaven. And then coming up, the big Spring Business Showcase on March 16th. This is an annual event the Chamber puts together every year to introduce people to businesses and vice versa. The Spring Business Showcase is a business-to-consumer trade show that features businesses and consumer exhibits, product demonstrations, prize drawings, free admission tickets for the general public, and $5 beer and wine tasting. Showcase is sponsored by the Silver Reef Casino, Hotel Casino, and Spa, this station, KGMI, and Print and Copy Factory. It'll be held at the Event Center at Silver Reef Casino Spa from 3 in the afternoon to 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 16th. So put that on your calendar, Thursday, March 16th. Interested in vendors can find the vendor application at bellingham.com or by calling the chamber at 734-1330. So if you have a business you're interested in reaching people, this is a great opportunity and a wonderful venue to show people what you have to offer and make connections, share business cards, get to know other businesses in the area. It's a lot of fun and you'll enjoy yourself. And then we'd like to welcome our newest chamber members, Galloway's Cocktail Bar, Olympic Community of Health, Edward Jones and Bowen, Sound Predictions, Podworks, Innovative Salon Products, Pacific Marine Center, Dykeman, New Leader Development, The Signpost Inc., Mr. Frank's Spice Company, and Croach. So so those are new members. And if you're interested in becoming a member of the Chamber of Commerce, go to bellingham.com and you'll find new information about how to become a member and join this Chamber of Commerce. This has been an excellent organization that's been operating in Whatcom County for over 100 years and seeks to develop business relationships and business connections for our community. So you've been listening to the Whatcom Report on KGMI. I've been your host this weekend. And we want to thank KGMI Radio, who has made this possible for us, the Cascade Radio Group and KGMI, by making this available for us to do this broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30. Talk to you soon.